Gentas presents The Perfect Neighbor by Susanna Beard. Performed by Emma Gregory. For all the lost people everywhere. Chapter 1. Sophia.
The front door slams. The door to my room rattles every time, though it's locked. Locked from the other side, the key taken as it is every night when I go to bed. Sir is leaving, which means it must be 6 in the morning. I hear the crackle of gravel as his car rolls towards the tall gates, a click as they reach their widest, more crunching as the car creeps through, then the soft buzz and creak as they close behind it. You can't see the road from inside the house. Every time I pass the window on the landing, I check to see if the gates are open. They never are. I feel my body tense. In a moment, there'll be the sound of a key in my door, and Madame will say, "Get up, get to work," or something like that, in her loud, clipped English. I have only a few minutes to visit my tiny toilet, drag a flannel across my face, and get dressed before I start work. No breakfast for 2 hours, and then just the cold leftovers. Soggy, buttered toast, no crispness left. If I am lucky, half a banana, already turning brown on the edge where his teeth have ripped a hurried last bite. I'm used to the routine now. I go down a floor to the cupboard on the landing and pull out the vacuum cleaner, a duster, and a can of furniture polish. I step into their room. Here, everything is old-fashioned, in traditional heavy Russian style. Big wardrobes and chests with painted designs, an enormous carved wooden bed. The furniture looks old, well-used, perhaps from Madame's family home. I wonder how much it must have cost to transport it all the way across Europe. It must mean a lot to her. Even the drapes are different here, with their complicated floral patterns. The room is a stark contrast to the rest of the house. Everywhere else, the furnishings are modern, like in the magazines she buys, with mirrored furniture, pale colors and hard edges. The bed is rumpled, the silk cover pooling on the carpet, the pillows creased. I reach over and smooth the undersheet, pulling at the edges, tucking them in tightly at each side. I throw the duvet and the bed cover back into place and punch the pillows into shape. They sigh gently as I straighten them. From the sofa by the window, I gather up huge velvet cushions and arrange them according to size at the bedhead. Madame likes them just so. She gets upset if they are out of order. And when she is upset, she hits me. In the bathroom, which is bigger than my entire bedroom, I open the cupboard beneath the sink and pull out cleaning fluid, a cloth and a toilet brush. I set to, my mouth working. If Madame could understand Bulgarian, she might hear her own name among the curses. When I have finished dusting and polishing and vacuuming, I wave around the perfumed room spray that Madame orders from Harrods. It smells of sweet roses and reminds me of home. I close the door quietly behind me. I wait in the hall downstairs. I pretend to dust the pictures, the mirror, the side table with its huge display of fresh flowers. I am not allowed into the kitchen until Madame leaves it, but I have to do the rooms in the right order. Madame takes her time. She chatters in Russian on the phone. Pop music plays in the background, so I can't distinguish her words. Though I read Russian well, I have to focus to follow the spoken language, especially at the speed Madame talks. They do not know I speak Russian. It is a small secret among the many I keep, hoping they might be useful one day. I gather them to me and think about them when things are particularly bad. I move my arm gingerly. I can still feel the bruising where she grabbed me yesterday. I did not mean to drop the rubbish.